Luke 6.
What'd you talk about all the time?
Verse 44. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. There's one more. We spent a whole all day yesterday talking about committing fornication under every green tree. Let's go to one more, Ezekiel chapter 6. We may not get beyond chapter 6 today, but let's just start in verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the mountains of Israel, and prophesy against them, and say, You mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, Behold, I, even I, will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high places, and your altars shall be desolate, and your images shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols, and I will lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones around about your altars. In all your dwelling places the cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken and cease, and your images may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, isn't that talking to your mind? Can you see that?
I have to read it twice.
But, and yes, verse 8, yet I will leave a remnant, that you may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations, when you shall be scattered through the countries. And they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations, whither they shall be carried captive, because I am broken with their whorish heart, which hath departed from me, and with their eyes which go a-whoring after idols. And they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all their abominations. And they shall know that I am the Lord, and that I have not said it in vain, that I would do this evil unto them. Now the word remnant, most of the time, I didn't check it here, but most of the time it's the word seed. And the idea here is that I remember essentially Job said the same thing. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. It was written before the flood. It was written by, scholars believe it was in Genesis 8, it was Jobad or whatever it was. And it's an incredible book if you read it with any understanding. And you'll see that at the end of it, Job said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ears, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself, and I repent in sackcloth and ashes. Now that's essentially what he just said. That They shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all their abominations. Now, until this happens, the words I say are just philosophy. Until you reach a point where you loathe yourself and see yourself, no more trying to apprehend with the mind, no more leaning on your own arm of understanding to solve things, no more cause and effect to address matters. You're saying to the Father, I am yours without condition, and unless you move, I will die. Can you hear that? And it goes on. Thus saith the Lord God, smite with thine hand and stamp with thy foot, in verse 11, and say, alas, for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, and by pestilence. He that is afar off shall die of the pestilence, and he that is near shall fall by the sword, and he that remaineth and is besieged shall die by the famine. Thus will I accomplish my fury upon them. Then shall you know that I am the Lord, when their slain men shall be among their idols, round about their altars, upon every high hill, and in the tops of the mountains, and under every green tree, and under every thick oak, the place where they did offer sweet savour to all their idols. So will I stretch out my hand upon them, and make the land desolate, yea, more desolate than the wilderness toward Diblath, in all their habitations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, also, son of man, thus saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel, an end. The end is come upon the four corners of the land. Now is the end come upon thee. And I will send mine anger upon thee, and will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense upon thee all thine abominations. And mine eye shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity. But I will have recompense upon thee, and thine abominations shall be in the midst of thee. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Now the question is, does that register in you? Do you understand that this is to the church just as much as it is to Israel? Israel was only a type of the church. And the garment is so spotted by the flesh, you can't even tell the garment is white. You put on the Lord Jesus Christ, the garment of righteousness, but it's so spotted by the flesh, it appears to be a garment of another color to the Father. So under every green tree, now this is why it's so critical that you understand, when at the baptism of John, the baptism of repentance, it is said of that baptism, now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. There's no more leaning on your own arm of understanding. There's no more trying to use this which is cursed to gain that which is blessed. It can't happen. There's nothing that you can do vis-a-vis your mind that can ever apprehend the mystery of God. It will only be an idol, or you'll make the mystery of God an idol that you try to, because it's just a philosophy. What?
The word fear of death comes to me. That's kind of like a lion that guards the gate. You have this always a fear of being a fool, or saying the wrong thing, or making a mistake, or any number of things that would cause you embarrassment and desolation, and you don't want to feel that. You want to protect yourself. So if God doesn't move quick, you think you have to do something, like Abraham. Of course, he waited a long time. It's that fear that you have to face and or reckon. I found myself reckoning while you were reading.
Do you understand that upon every green tree and the high mountains of Israel, it's talking about every idea that you've had? The word, the reason green tree is used is the word green means, if green tree is one word, but it means it's lush, it's luxuriant. And that's what every idea you had, you have an, because if it wasn't lush and luxuriant, the idea would have faded. And so you have under every green tree, you're committing fornication from God's standpoint. You might as well be up screwing every whore in the world. And that's why the idea of good ideas is so abhorrent. There are none. Because every idea, everything that your mind can conceive is corrupt. Because it denigrates with time. That's why this idea that believers are involved in politics. It's because in order to be involved in politics, by definition, you have to take a stand. All right, let's go back to Luke. This next thing is kind of interesting. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. Now the word thorns is akantha. And it refers to a bush called Sisyphus spina, or a bush called the Arabian quandal. Now these are the thorns, one of those, probably the Arabian one, are the thorns that the crown of thorns was plaited for Christ. Now let's go back to Genesis 3. And this applies, it's not an accident that this applies directly to your mind. Verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. By thy belly shalt thou be led, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. By your appetites you shall be led. In other words, by your lusts you shall be led. Now what are your lusts? Wanting more than you have. All right, so watch. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat it. Eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. And sorrow shalt thou eat of all it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And thy sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread, thy bread, till thou return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shall return. Now in verse 18, thorns also and thistles shall it bring down to thee, bring forth to thee. Now let's go to Matthew 27. No, let's go to Matthew 13 first. This is the parable that's it's so important. It says, if you don't understand this parable, you will understand nothing. In verse 3, and he spoke unto many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he had sowed, some fell by the wayside, and fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Now look at what it says now in verse, where it describes that parable. In verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unmore fruitful. Now, thorns, then, are directly connected to the cares of this world. Now, once your mind starts being concerned with the cares of this world, then that chokes the seed. It doesn't matter whether the cares of this world are self-preservation. It doesn't matter whether the cares of this world are meeting needs of others. It doesn't matter whether the cares of this world are your family. It doesn't matter what it is. By definition, according to this parable from Jesus himself, the thorns are the cares of the world. You understand that? It's care of the world, meaning giving breath to things that are in the world. That's what cares of the world means. Now let's look and see how this culminates. Let's go to Matthew 27. Verse 22. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. And they answered all the people and said, his blood be upon us and our children. Now, that's an incredible statement. His blood be upon us and our children. And remember, Israel was selected to represent the human race. Do you understand what that means? And what everything that happened with Israel happened to the human race. You got that? They were the... So what happens now? And the people answered, said, his blood be on us and our children. Then released he Barnabas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus to the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and his right hand, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him, and they took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took off the robe from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. So that crown of thorns is directly related to the curse, and it's directly related to the cares of this world. And what, there's this incredible paragraph in Luther's writings that says, every single thought that I have, it's as if the soldiers were pounding the crown of thorns into the head of Christ. Everything that I have to do, it's as if the soldiers were pounding the nail into my right arm or my hand. And every place I think I have to go, the soldiers are again pounding a nail into his feet. But think about it, the crown of thorns. We are so used to thinking that we can't even talk about not thinking without talking about thinking.
Think about that.
Yeah. We even take this incredible word in the Bible called Selah in the Psalms, which was a pause, a musical pause, and a signal to the Levites that were singing to pause. But we've interpreted it now to mean, think about this.
That's how I do it.
What have you gained by thinking?
Don't you consider these things? Isn't that the essence of that? Consider what you've just
No, it shows,
seen.
But, well, it does to me is cause me to repent more.
Not bad.
But it doesn't mean think about. I'm hairy again. I mean, it's extremely rare if I ever think. And people don't believe that. I've gone for 2 and 3 years without thinking. And it's probably, a lot of you say, yeah, that's evident. Because I know the incredible evil of this thing. And I know I can't use this thing to gain the mystery. It can't be done. I can only agree with this book and say, Father, forgive me, and abandon myself, taking no thought for my life. And this is radical. It's as radical as it gets. It's either true or it's not true. There's no in between. If you believe Luther, every time you think, you're resurrecting the evil one from his deadly head wound. Now that's why the mystery of God, that's why it talks about being hot or cold. If you're going to think, if you feel the need to think about it, then go think about it. Go and push everything to the end till you can see the fruit of this evil one is always evil. There is no such thing as a good result from your mind. Can anybody hear me?
I like what you just said, because I think that leads to that.
Yeah, but haven't you seen the end of it?
Sure. I'm full of talking about it. But I didn't get there because...
Well, of course not.
Yeah.
And I've always said that from the very beginning.
Right. You just said it now. Push it. Don't be afraid to find out.
What, Mr. Chisholm?
Thinking about renewing your mind and what it really means.
Means a gradual conforming. It's the word anakinesis. A gradual conforming to that which was and is and will be. And the only thing that was and is and will be is the mind of Christ. The only thing the mind of Christ is a total emptiness, a vacuum.
Renew your mind.
What?
Renew your mind.
You know what's funny about that is to your mind, that seems like the worst possible thing you can do.
Evacuated.
Yeah, it's kind of a conundrum.
Let's go to John 5.
Oh, my goodness.
This is when Jesus was at the pool of Bethsaida. And the guy was healed. In verse 14, and afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a a worse thing come upon thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he also said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of or from himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also do the Son likewise. Now, Jesus didn't have a television set in his mind that told him what the Father was doing. What he did was so totally empty himself that there was no separation between he and the Father. And this is what you are called to do. The same thing. That there is no separation between you and the Son, and therefore no separation between you and the Father. So the Father worketh hitherto, and I work. There's no, well, I'm going to think about it, and I'll work and do this and that. And I say this so many times, it's cliche, but how has thinking worked out for you? If you're even survived, it's because he hasn't made you post-toasties. Because nothing that you have ever done or thought about doing had ever any meaningful output, outcome. Why then would you continue it? You believe there's a place of emptiness where there's no separation between you and the Father? Can you see why I hate those little things like the footsteps in the sand so badly? Because they deny that oneness. I remember a long time ago I said there's not one place in the scriptures where anyone prayed to Jesus. And I thought the world was going to come to the end with the results from that, because everybody prayed to Jesus. No, they don't. They pray in his name or in his nature. Don't use the name Jesus as an amulet or an omelet either. Let's go again. Let's look at the same in chapter 5. Go to verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Let's go to John 14. Verse 20, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now, what day is that? The day that you've accepted your death. In that day you shall know that I am in the Father, you in me, and I in you. No separation. What does all this have to do with the green trees? Because every time you use your mind as a solution for anything, you're going up to one of those high mountains, and again, you're committing fornication in the eyes of God. Can you see why the thorn parable throughout from Genesis to the crown of thorns, to the parable about the thorns being the cares of this world? As long as I teach, if I taught how to succeed in this world in the name of God, then I'm teaching thorns. Now, how many years have I been saying this stuff? Pete met me in 73. Mr. Buckner met me in 73. 72? 72, yeah, I met you.
Yeah, well, 73, yeah, 73. I was just thinking, listening on the radio, how far back that went.
Now, how many years is that?
Close to 40.
Have I ever said anything different than this to your mind and your remembrance? What is there then, if you've said 100,000 times that you agree and you've confessed and you've said amen to this? Is there any reason to continue in sin that grace may abound? Is there any reason to continue to use your mind for anything? Can it be justified? It doesn't matter whether it was 50 years or 5 minutes ago. If you heard it, you've got to go to battle with your mind. You can never nurse it. And as long as you haven't gone to battle with your mind, then, as we've often said, then this walk is difficult. Because you've got an investment in everything instead of an investment in nothing. Anybody have any response to this, Mr. Bojo? Do you agree? Was that a big agree or a little agree?
I don't. Big or little?
I'm kidding you.
I saw something different this morning where your fruitful ideas that you think are fruitful are indications of where your life is. If you're trying to incorporate this, world of Christian. But if you see your life is outside of this realm, then and your life is in another place, then you see the foolishness of trying to adopt God's principles and make them work for you in this short life. You haven't come to terms then with where your life is, and you're still trying to work the system.
As Paul said, you are yet carnal. When carnal just means meat. Still dealing with the soul instead of dealing with the spirit. Please, 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 if you agree with this, then begin abandonment, true abandonment, taking no thought, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And we've said it so often, there's not a thought you can have that can stand against the finished work of Christ. There's not a thought that you can have that says it's impossible for us to have a need. That it's impossible that everything is finished, that everything is perfect, that wherever you look, you see the perfection of His holiness. There's no thought that can stand against any of that. This woman that listens, she wrote me an email. She writes me about 5 emails a day, it seems like, but she wrote one yesterday that encapsulates this and what her seeing of it was, and it's just mind bending what she saw so quickly. And so I'm going to read that in the morning. But remind me to. I'm going to send it to you to print it out, would you? All right. Anything else? What? You have a concerned look on your face.
Yeah.
um,
was just thinking about the tabernacles under the cloud, and that there's not a lot of thought that goes into obedience, you know?
It's not.
Just say, don't think, just obey. You don't have to think about when you have to move. You move when you are obedient. Period.
Amen. All right, take a big breath.